A year of unrest, thousands killed and injured. The Syrian government says armed gangs equipped and funded by foreign powers are responsible. The US and its regional and international allies say Bashar Assad is the problem. This is News Analysis.
Last week, anti-government armed groups in Syria said they had received weapons from the U.S., France, and some regional countries. This came a few weeks after some Western and Arab countries, including Qatar and Saudi Arabia, said they would offer the groups political and financial support. The offer followed their failure to push for a Libya-like military intervention in Syria. This after Russia and China vetoed a UN Security Council resolution that endorsed an Arab League call on Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to resign. Russia and China said the resolution would lead to a civil war in Syria. Opponents claimed it would end the ongoing deadly unrest, which began last March. The offer to openly supply arms to anti-Syrian groups also came after secret sending of weapons was failed. The Syrian army is engaged in a daily fighting with these groups in different parts of the country. Damascus says over 2,000 of its security personnel have been killed over the past year. Efforts against the Syrian government come as it's already started reforms as part of attempts to restore calm in Syria. Last week, President Assad endorsed a draft constitution approved by nearly 90% of voters in a referendum. The new constitution was rejected by anti-Assad Arab states and their Western allies. These countries, including Saudi Arabia, have taken a very different approach towards anti-government protests in other countries like Yemen and Tunisia. Saudi Arabia gave refuge to ousted Tunisian dictator Zain al-Abidine Ben Ali after he fled the country in the face of mounting popular protests. Saudi Arabia and Qatar, along with their ally the U.S., led efforts for a power transfer deal in Yemen, which ignored demands of anti-regime protesters. The deal transferred power from Ali Abdullah Saleh to a person from his own regime. Saleh's standing deputy became president in a single candidate vote. The deal granted Saleh immunity from prosecution for crimes during a deadly crackdown on anti-regime protests over the past year. The deal also kept Yemen's powerful military under the control of Saleh's relatives. In Bahrain, where opposition protests have been underway since last February, Saudi Arabia has helped the Manama regime crush the protests demanding freedom and justice. The Al Saud regime is also cracking down similar protests underway on its own soil. The hypocrisy by these Arab countries and their Western allies are highlighted when it comes to Palestine. These states have never pursued or even spoken of sending arms to Palestinians who face atrocities by Israel's military. Last month, the Secretary General of Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah, Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, said the double standards by some Arab states and their Western allies in Syria are only because that Assad's government does not support their interests.
Joining me now live from London is reporter and broadcaster Lizzie Fellon. Thanks for being with us. I'd also like to introduce our guest live in Beirut, Mr. Omar Nashabi with the Al Akhbar newspaper, and author of Guilt by Association, Mr. Jeff Gates, who's joining us on the line from California. Welcome to News Analysis. I'll put my first question to Lizzie Fellon in London. Lizzie, since you have been in Syria for a while and you've been on the ground covering the unrest there, tell us what you know about the identity of those who are still killing people in Homs. Of course, the government is calling them members of foreign-backed armed gangs. The opposition says they're security forces.
Well, I mean, I think it's quite clear what is happening in Syria to anybody who just turns off Al Jazeera for 5 minutes, really. And I mean, the events being portrayed by the global media, which is controlled by the Western nations and the GCC nations overwhelmingly, is in fact the exact opposite of the reality of what is happening on the ground. And this is because the Western powers, whose policies only benefit a tiny minority of the global population, are trying to portray through their global media that their interests are the same as the global population, when in fact the opposite is, of course, true. So we have a situation whereby Western-backed illegal insurrection in Syria is being portrayed as a revolution being carried out by freedom fighters. Meanwhile, as your report correctly said, genuinely popular uprisings in Bahrain and Yemen are being suppressed by those very same Western forces and Saudi Arabia and Qatar and others. And this is because in the former case, in the case of Syria, as in the case of Libya, the insurrections were supported by the West because they were insurrections against anti-Zionist and anti-imperialist states. Whereas in Bahrain and Yemen, the popular popular protests are protests against allies of the West and allies of the Zionist state of Israel. Now, anybody who tells the truth about these situations or even glimpses of the truth, like, for example, channels like Press TV or Russia Today or other independent reporters, are vilified. But the truth eventually does come out, exactly like in Iraq. Of course, for months, for a very long time, the narrative that weapons of mass destruction was the just pretext for intervening there. Later, of course, once the damage had been done, especially in cases like the reporting of the New York Times, and if anybody wants to know why, particularly, I pull up the case of the New York Times.
Well, Lizzie, you say then that basically you believe that this is a Western-backed insurgency in Syria. Before you continue with that discussion, let's just bring in Dr. Omar Nashabi in Beirut and have his view on this. Mr. Nashabi, Syrian security forces in the latest reports are saying that they found tunnels and a large cache of weapons in the Baba Amr neighborhood in Homs. Where do you think these weapons are coming from?
Well, obviously they are being smuggled into Syria from the neighboring countries, perhaps from the borders with Lebanon. There have been some reports of some weapons being smuggled from Lebanon and some other equipment for the media and for Jazeera and other equipment that is used for terrorist attacks that are becoming more recurrent in Syria. There have been several explosions in civilian areas and inside Damascus also. Recently there was an explosion in Daraa and that targeted innocent civilians. I think the weapons are coming in also from Turkey. They're coming in from the border with Iraq, from the border with Jordan. The borders are very difficult to control, in fact.
But would you say, Mr. Nashabi, that these are weapons coming in through the borders, as the Syrian government alleges, are coming with the help and support of countries like Saudi Arabia or Qatar?
Definitely. Yes, definitely. I think they are not hiding it anymore. Qatar is saying it out in the open. They're saying they want to smuggle weapons into Syria. Now, in this particular case, the Arab League had a good position, and they were looking for these good positions that are to the benefit of the Syrian people. They are sometimes rare, especially recently, but Nabil al-Arabi, the Secretary General of the Arab League, said that he is against smuggling weapons into Syria because that would only fuel the fight and make it more intense. It would it may lead into a more intense civil war where destruction could spread even wider. The destruction today in Homs, in the area of Baba Amr, in the area of Restan, in some parts of northern Syria is substantial, and I think the objective should be to minimize killing, minimize the destruction of Syria, and I think that's the position of Russia and China when they actually vetoed the Security Council resolution, because these two Security Council resolutions were going to create more tension inside Syria.
We're going to go back to that.
Would actually create more.
Yeah, we're going
problems.
To go back to that issue of how the international community responded to this. But I'd like to put this next question to Jeff Gates before we move on. Now, Mr. Gates, we know that as Mr. Nashabi was telling us, efforts to maybe equip or arm the opposition, these are cases that have been made public now in meetings that are taking place between Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the international parts of the international community that are now calling for that publicly to happen. The question is, do you think that countries like the regional countries or the GCC countries are making these decisions independently, or are these, as some have been saying in their words, orders coming from the United States?
Well, this is a challenging question to unwind this, because when you say orders coming from the United States or from the Western powers, as with your earlier speaker, I think people forget how long ago that a sort of pro-Israeli group of people embedded themselves in U.S. foreign policy as well as in Britain and other countries. And that's very hard to unwind at this point. I think some historic perspective helps. The Joint Chiefs, our head of our military, warned Harry Truman in 48 not to recognize this enclave of fanatics, that's their term, not ours, as a, not mine, as a legitimate state, because they would use us, they would manipulate the U.S. to seek hegemony, to seek domination in the region. And I think that's playing out. You find that timing really is everything. The Syria's crisis was timed for the last week of Eisenhower's re-election campaign in 56. Operation Cast Lead, the invasion of Palestine, was timed between Christmas and the inaugural of Barack Obama. This latest instability is now right in the middle of another presidential campaign, which is drawing Obama to the political right, which is where the right wing of Israeli leadership has always resided, in that sort of fanatical branch. And yesterday he gave a speech to the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, where he was forced by the current politics to really take a very hard-line stance. So in unwinding these things, I think it's helpful to put some historic perspective on this and realize that, in effect, we've pretty much lost control of our foreign policy here in the U.S. Because of this influence. And so to blame it on the U.S., again, that's why I called the book Guilt by Association. This is not Americans doing this. This is an influence inside our government that was predicted to manipulate us and has been doing so successfully for 64 years.
Right, and following up what you say there, Mr. Gates, I'd like to put this question to Lizzie now in London. Right now, we're hearing Israel speaking out. The Vice Premier, Lizzie, Moshe Yalon, he's been saying that there's no doubt that Assad must go. So speaking about Israel's fears and interests here, do you think that with Israel saying that it's not going to take sides, however, in the case of Syria, that the United States is doing Israel's bidding here?
Absolutely, you know, there's absolutely no question about it. And, you know, all of these claims that the West supports democracy and human rights in Syria, it's of course exactly what is happening, is that this isn't about democracy or human rights in Syria. This is very clearly, as the Israeli officials say themselves time and time again, this is about destroying the axis of resistance to Israel, that is Syria, Iran, and Hezbollah. And, you know, just to come back to your previous point about the insurgents in the country receiving support from the outside, you know, there's a lot of evidence to show that the Israelis have already been doing this. The Saudis last week said arming the insurgents would be an excellent idea. We can see what democracy, so-called democracy in Libya now, has bought. It has bought the rebels there pledging $100 million in so-called humanitarian aid to the insurgents in Syria. You would think that with their country being destroyed, they would need as much money for humanitarian aid as they can get. This was reported today by the Guardian. So, I mean, it's very clear that it's very important for Israel to destroy, to destabilize Syria, to get rid of the government of Bashar al-Assad, so that they can easily attack Lebanon, attack the Hezbollah, the resistance in Hezbollah. And there have been some comments by the opposition in Syria, who of course are not all Syrian, but we know that many of them are Qatari. The Telegraph today reported that French troops had been found on the ground in Homs, had been captured by the Syrian government. But some forces in the opposition, particularly the fundamentalist Sunni forces who are violently anti-Shia, have said that if Lebanon was attacked by Israel, that they would not provide safe haven for the Shia in Lebanon inside Syria. If Lebanon is attacked, then it makes it much easier for Iran to be attacked. So this is about destroying the potential for the multipolarity in the world, which is emerging, destroying all of Russia and China's potential allies in the greater Middle East area.
Right. You refer there to Libya. Mr. Nashabi, of course, we know that in the case of Libya, international forces did get involved, although not on the ground, but they did get involved by bombing areas there. And moving the revolution there forward. But in the case of Syria, we saw, as you said earlier, the vetoes that happened and the UN resolution. Countries like China and Russia were saying that veto was made because they were afraid of a Libya-like scenario to take place in Syria. Do you think then that those countries who were for that kind of intervention now believe that that kind of intervention militarily is not possible now in the case of Syria, and that's why, as you said, they're calling openly for at least equipping the opposition.
I don't think at this point it's something that they would go for, because they know that the situation is totally different than the Libyan scenario. President Assad is in control. The army is united behind him, the security forces too, the diplomatic corps in Syria, all the embassies all around the world, no one resigned, no one turned against the regime so far. The Ba'ath Party is still united. The insurgents of the army inside Syria are individuals. There are no regiments or battalions that have deserted or that have shifted alliances. So therefore, one can say, in fact, from observation of the facts on the ground, the President Assad still is a very powerful and strong, and he still has allies, and his allies are standing firm behind him. He still has excellent relations with Iran. He has a very good relations with Russia and China. He has supporters in Lebanon, not just Hezbollah. Hezbollah, Amal, the Hizb al-Qawmi, the other parties, General Michel Aoun. So he has almost half the different political forces in Lebanon also backing him up. So I think it will be difficult to make a confrontation with Assad, a direct military confrontation from outside at this point. And President Assad is making very smart moves. He is inviting Mr. Kofi Annan to visit Syria next Saturday. On Wednesday, there will be a representative, an Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs for the United Nations, who is going to visit Syria. She will meet with the Red Cross and the Red Crescent, and she will also have some visits to different areas of Syria. President Assad believes that there is nothing to hide. He wants people to come in and see for themselves how there are some terrorist groups coming into Syria and shooting at the army, destroying their own country, destroying the local institution. However, having said that, I just want to say something I think that is very relevant to this, and that it would be wrong to miss it. There are some demands on the part of ordinary Syrians for democratic reform. These demands are fair demands, and they are demands that also are there in many other countries. However, this movement on the part of the people to call for basic democratic reforms has been hijacked by the imperialist forces and by other pro-Israeli forces in the region that are infiltrating Syria now under the pretext that they are helping this so-called revolution. And to destroy the regime in order to capture the minds and hearts of Arabs and Muslims
around the
world.
Come back to that discussion
that
you made.
That is totally misleading.
Yeah, Mr. Nashabi. But first, let's go back to Mr. Gates. And I'd like to have this question answered first before we move on to that next topic. Mr. Gates, you were speaking about the United States' role here, the issues with Israel, the interests of Israel, how much they count. When we are speaking about the Libya-style intervention in Syria, do you think that the latest developments in Syria that Mr. Nashabi mentioned there, including the referendum that was held for reforms, the fact that he said President Assad is now calling in Kofi Annan and other UN observers into Syria and trying to calm things down, that this has persuaded the United States that getting involved militarily is not possible in the case of Syria?
Well, we don't know that yet. I think there's a very low appetite for taking us into another war, and Syria's got the, except that those who would like to see us bomb Iran, and some Israelis had that objective for quite a long time, they've deployed their resources yet again, and it's difficult for outsiders to see this, but if you see the regular messengers step up on the stage, such as John McCain, a former presidential candidate, was one of the first ones to advocate arming people in Syria, and people forget that John McCain is the one who sponsored a fellow named Ahmad Chalabi, who brought us the initial false intelligence with which we induced to go into Iraq. Mm-hmm. So it's usually the same cast of characters time and time again, and again, it's the politics of this that are difficult for outsiders to see. When a fellow named Sheldon Adelson gave $5 million to a presidential candidate named Newt Gingrich, Newt Gingrich immediately made a speech just prior to that about the Palestinians being an indented people. And he very much wants to see us invade Iran. With that $5 million, he rose to the top in the South Carolina primary and became competitive in Florida. Sheldon Adelson has about $28 billion. He could give less than 4% of his fortune, about $1 billion, to any one of these pro-Israeli bomb Iran candidates, and probably they would take the presidency in the United States. We're in very difficult, challenging times because our democracy has been enormously undermined both by money and by the power of pro-Israelis with money. And that's hard for outsiders to see.
Right.
Now, will the American public put up with going into some other country again? I hope not, but they may.
Right. Before we run out of time, I'd like to have the concluding remarks now. Lizzie, if the Syrian government is facing this violence, up until now, it looks that it's not been able to contain this violence. This violence is continuing. So basically, do you think that the Syrian government needs some kind of assistance now from the international community? What should be the solution for the Syrian crisis?
The solution should be what the Syrians and the Chinese and the Russians and others who respect international justice have been calling for all along, and that is dialogue and a peaceful solution. It's quite the whole aggression against Syria from A to Z has been in complete violation of international law, and none of the Western powers or the GCC powers ever mention actually international law because they are the greatest violators of international law. It's very clear that because they can't do things through the United Nations like they did in Libya and the way that they had hoped, that now we're seeing effectively a war of attrition. And, you know, aside from the daily terrorist attacks that kill civilians, there is, of course, a massive attempts to destroy the country's infrastructure, relentless attacks on the country's fuel and electricity supplies, which is designed, you know, some areas face 12 hours a day of blackouts, which is designed to weaken the morale of the people and weaken their support for the president. So, you know, whether this strategy will be successful remains to be seen because, of course, the Syrians have a very strongly embedded in their consciousness the importance of protecting the sovereignty of their country. And, of course, there is a strong anti-Zionist sentiment in Syria because of the consciousness of the importance of freedom for Palestine and freedom for the Arab people.
Right. Reporter and broadcaster Lizzie Fellon joining us there live from London. I'm afraid we've run out of time. I'd also like to thank Mr. Omar Nashabi with the Al Akhbar newspaper joining us live from Beirut, and author of Guilt by Association, Mr. Jeff Gates, who is joining us on the line from California. Thank you very much all for being with us. From me, Omar Lezgi, and the rest of the team here in Tehran, until another news analysis, it's goodbye.